Welcome to the World of Women Create podcast series, where we bring you the magical and innovative worlds of artisans and makers from the pages of our magazines, Where Women Create and What Women Create, along with special guests who are entrepreneurs and experts in their fields. We love to share great conversation with extraordinary women, women you may be very familiar with and others you may not know. My name is Jennifer Blott, and I am the editor-in-chief of Women Create. It is my pleasure to welcome you, our listeners, and all of our guests as we explore the ups and downs, challenges and triumphs, exhilaration and immense joy of living a creative life. A creative life is a life that's rarely stagnant and always leading us down surprising paths. Thank you for being part of our creative world, the world of Women Create. Welcome. We are here today with Chelsea O'Hare, the owner of Pink Door Fabrics and Renaissance Ribbons. Chelsea started Pink Door Fabrics in 2011 and recently acquired Renaissance in 2023. A diehard modern fabric fan, she taught herself to sew many years ago and has turned her hobby into a thriving enterprise that ships worldwide. She has found her niche, offering fabrics from all the hottest designers in Block of the Month programs. Welcome, Chelsea.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So it was really wonderful to meet you at H&H Americas in early May. And we stopped by your booth a couple of times. It was always packed. You have a huge fan club and people who love your work. And I have a lot of questions for you today, but I'm going to start with sort of the beginning, your love for fabric. Tell me when that came about and how it steered you towards this path.
So when I was little, I loved nothing more than redesigning my room. And so much to my parents' chagrin, they were like, we just did that like a year ago. And I'm going, no, there's new fabrics. I need all these new things. And that was kind of when that became a thing in sort of the home decor world where people started doing more of that. And so I loved nothing more. And so fast forward, I started going to school. I thought that I wanted to be a doctor. So I was a pre-med major and went, this just isn't for me. This is not my shtick. I worked in a hospital and went, this is just not what I thought it was going to be. And so I did a little bit of soul searching, and I'd gotten a job working for an architect while I was in college. And so I decided to switch majors and become an interior design major. And so I have a bachelor's of fine arts in interior design. And that was like, this was what I was meant to do. So it didn't feel like work. It didn't feel like school. And so there was nothing better to me than to be able to pick out the materials and the finishes and the paint colors and everything for spaces that really told this whole big story. And so that was really the start of this. And so at the time, it was a lot more home deck fabrics. And so there used to be these fabulous stores here in the Denver area where you could get swatches. And so I would dream up all these different like color stories that you could put together with fabric. And so that kind of started it. And then I did interiors for a lot of years, probably 15 years. And then when our first child, our daughter was born, it was like, well, I'm not going to be able to do interiors and run commercial construction projects anymore with a baby. And so I had started Pink Door just sort of with a couple of bolts of fabric and thought, well, I've taught myself how to sew now. I started out with Amy Butler patterns, which was a tall, like that's a big, ambitious project for a first time sewer. And I started with like 10 bolts of fabric and thought, well, I love this. We'll see if this was in the infancy of Etsy. And fast forward this many years later, and here we are, still living the dream.
So where did the name Pink Door come from?
Well, to the point of wanting to redesign everything, I really wanted to paint my door pink when I was little and my parents wouldn't let me. So this was my chance. They were not thrilled with painting our interior doors pink, unfortunately.
So you were running this business for quite a while, and you probably had your hands full with Pink Door, and then another opportunity came your way last year. Tell us about that.
it's one of those things where in life, you know, it just kind of falls into your lap. And I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't looking for it. We certainly had our hands full with the growth, especially since the pandemic. Pink Door has really seen a lot of growth, which is amazing. My husband and I, as well as a lot of our sort of extended family and family friends. So it's a nice sort of cohesive, small family run business. But with Renaissance, Edit Minnie, who owned that, she started that over 30 years ago, and she was looking to retire. And so I'd heard that there were rumblings in the industry of her looking to retire and sell the business. And we're talking, she was looking with bigger companies. And so I sort of thought, oh, that would be fun, and never thought too much about it. And one random day, I got an email that said, hi, I'm thinking about selling this business, and I think you'd be a really good fit. You know, let me know if you want more information. And so it was just kind of a serendipitous sort of thing. And I thought, well, she does a, I'm very familiar with her product offerings. I know her pretty well. We'd collaborated on things before. And so it was just the match made in heaven of a lot of the same designers we knew and carried are part of her business too. And so it was just the perfect marriage of both fabric and ribbon and sort of creating this cohesive package of product offerings for the quilting industry.
And you're keeping, currently you're keeping your website separate, sort of keeping the businesses separate online?
We are. And so ongoing, there have been quite a few changes that have made, which have been made, which is just trying to, it was just a perfect storm, I think, for her of the pandemic hitting and everything went online, which she was already really well equipped to do. And she started a subscription business for bag kits. And so there's a monthly Tula Pink kit club, where it's a different Biani bag every month, new Tula fabrics, and then new Tula ribbons that go with that. So people, and it was the perfect thing during the pandemic because people were home sewing. So we're continuing that, but we're also making a big push back towards business to business selling. And so we've just been going 50 miles an hour since the acquisition. And so there's a new renewed impact with business to business. So we've partnered with Jaftex and Free Spirit that now they're going to be the exclusive distributor of all of their own designers' ribbons. So Kaif ribbons, Tula ribbons, webbings, they're all going to be. So it's really kind of a one-stop shop. Our goal was to make that easier for the quilting retailer to be able to get those things all in one place rather than having to go multiples. And so it also helps them because the ribbon goes with the fabric. So now those are going to start shipping with the fabric.
Got it. Okay. So let's talk about the two different groups you serve. So you have a large retail space, correct? And it's fairly new?
It is. So we started a little bit of history. We started in my basement when I first started with my 10 bolts and I thought I was big time. Then so I'd go down there and cut in the evenings after I worked during the day. And then it's continually evolved. And so our most recent, we were just in warehouse space and we would open our doors like 2 days a month, 1 to 2 days a month for in-person shopping, which at the heart of this, it's always been an e-commerce business. Like that's what I know, that it was always intended to be that way. I was a little hesitant towards going full brick and mortar just because the cost of space and everything, living and everything here in Denver is just astronomically high. And so I just didn't want to get overextended. And so recently we were bursting at the seams in that warehouse space. And so we were looking for a way to kind of have both. And so the problem with that is that we were doing so much production and we, you know, absorbed the Renaissance inventory and everything. So we just didn't have enough space to try to keep it all in one building. And we looked for, oh my gosh, like 8 months to try to find a good solution. And it ended up that there was a retail space like 100 yards from our front door. So we moved the retail portion of it out into that. And so now we're open 2 days a week. Oh. So people can come and shop in person. And then the rest of it, we kept that space and we're just continuing to do production and Renaissance and kits and blocks of the month out of there.
So basically you have two businesses, Pink Door and Renaissance, and then you have your B2B and your B2C So that is a lot. I mean, I know
you don't realize it till you hear somebody else say it and you're like, huh.
Well, okay. It's different. Yeah. It's very different ways of consuming. And so you go to trade shows like H&H, correct? And
right.
You meet with retailers, you're carried around the country.
Yeah.
Outside of the US.
That's something that we're really working towards. And so Jaftex is going to be serving international customers through their distribution. And then we're also looking to partner with other fabric manufacturers. So we've got a lot of new exciting things that are not yet ready to be shared publicly, but lots of brand new designers. And so the hope is to be partnering with other fabric manufacturers in the same way that we are with Jaftex, where it just expands that reach so much further and makes it more accessible, which was really always the goal. You know, it's not so much a dollars and cents. It's how do we make this better for the shop owner? And how do we get these products, which I think are phenomenal, into the hands of people who want to make with them?
And then so for the individual consumer, they can either order your kits online or come by your retail location twice a week, right?
Right. And so we do all of the kits for Renaissance, for instance, are all only online. They're subscription based. So we do the Tulipine Kit Club, and then we do what we call the Renaissance Bag Club. And so that's a little smaller pattern that is a biennial pattern. And so it's the same pattern every month, but we switch up the fabrics, which is really fun because you get to see, we're picking all the newest fabrics that are coming out. So it's just, the creativity is just never ending with that. But all of our kits for Pink Door Yes are available in person. And ultimately the goal is to get Renaissance available in person too. It's kind of a logistical challenge that we're having right now because they are two separate backends. They're two separate websites. I haven't yet crossed that bridge to figure out how to make that happen.
You've got time.
Yeah. Yeah. I just need a few more hours in the day and we'll be fine.
Well, that brings us to, okay. So the few more hours in the day, you are running two businesses and traveling to conferences and you have children at home, young children, correct?
Yeah.
Give me some words of wisdom for how a person can do all of this.
We joke that we just need a few more hours in the day, but I'm tired, so I don't know that I could handle the few more hours in the day. But we make it work. And so my husband is working. He left his job after we had our second. So our littlest is going to be 4 next week, and our oldest is going to be 8. So we start, it's like zone on zone. I'm not a huge football fan, so we'll pretend like my analogy works here, but a zone defense. Like, so I leave early to come into the shop and start getting through emails and getting everything started here. And then he takes kids to school and then he comes to the shop and works until it's time to pick them up. And so then I'm usually out of the shop like by 4:30. I try to get home shortly after they get home from school. And then every day, I love my kids to death. There's nothing that I wouldn't do for them. But every day that we make it to another bedtime, we're like, okay, we made it through another day. Everyone's still alive. We did this. We can do hard things. And so, but there's nothing, and I'm sure any entrepreneur would tell you this, you've never worked harder than you do for yourself. But at the same time, it doesn't really seem like work. So I'm really fortunate in that there isn't a day that goes by that I'm not so grateful for the fun that is this business. And I love the challenge of it, of like, okay, well, what does the customer want and what can we do differently? And what sort of holes are there in the market of what's being offered and how can we fulfill those?
Okay. So what is your favorite part of the job?
Making things go together, hands down. That's my favorite part.
And how do you do that? Do you set aside time? Tell me that process. How do you find new fabrics? How do you get creative while you also have all the logistical to deal with?
I will be honest, it's a little bit of a challenge because, spoiler alert, I haven't sewn myself at a sewing machine in quite a long time, longer than I would like to admit, because there's just not time. You know, the littlest was born at the height of the pandemic. And so we just haven't stopped since then, which I'm eternally grateful for. But so I hand sew now when they go to bed, and at least then I can sit in bed and try to decompress from the day and go, okay, I sewed a seam, like, when? And then, but I usually try to do some of this creative stuff. So Sandra is my right-hand gal. She lives in Oklahoma and she works remotely from us. And she is amazing because she gets my vision and we're very much on the same page in terms of like, okay, we have this quilt that we want to make. Let's pair it with fabric. And so we usually do that via FaceTime in the morning and we sit and we hold things up and go, what about this? What about this? And so it's a fun process. And then with the gals here in the shop, I've got Lisa, who's sort of we joke that Sandra's my right hand, Lisa's my left hand. And so same thing, we have a little rolling TV that we put FaceTime on and we sit and hold up fabrics and okay, what about this one? What about this? And so that's the fun of, we do a little bit of that and we try to schedule it, but so there's a lot going on.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure. And I'm sure your cycles, I'm guessing your cycles of the month and getting things shipped, it's just sometimes you have to work around those deadlines. So how many people do you employ?
People are aghast when I say this. I've heard this a couple of times recently and I go, oh, I wasn't aware. So we have a sum total of 10 people who work here in both businesses. Sandra works in Oklahoma. Jody, who's phenomenal, handles all of our customer support and everything. It's so Jody. So we met her doing Inner Cube and Interstellar. English paper piecing patterns. She taught herself how to EPP, which is amazing. And then she entered, I forget what the name of the challenge was a few years ago, but she was a finalist in the Tulip Pink Homemade Challenge. I can never remember which, so forgive me. And so we dealt with her because she published her first pattern. Inner Cube was her first, and it was a runaway success. So we ran that as a block of the month. And she had another job, and I finally stole her away from that. And so now she works remotely. And so it's a pretty well-oiled machine here. I mean, there aren't a lot of people, but everyone is exceptionally good at what they do. And so everyone's kind of got their little niche. But we do a fair amount of pivoting around here because even this long after everything, shipping-wise, like, it's still kind of a crapshoot in terms of when things are going to show up and this is out of stock. And so there's a lot of like, we can't do that. So let's pivot. And we're pretty nimble. So we make it all work and work hard and it really enjoy each other and enjoying what we're doing. So it all works out.
So your love of fabric, how do you stay on top of what's out there? How do you sort of keep on top of trends? Does that come into play or do you just go with what you love?
A little bit. A lot of it is I go with what I love because I think that's really sort of one of the keys to success in businesses. I think a lot, especially when you're starting out, you don't know what your voice should be or you don't know what your identity should be, I guess I should say. And so you think, well, let's just carry everything, which we sort of did in the beginning because I loved it all. And I certainly picked what I loved. But as a business evolves, you find out really what your customer is looking for and who your customer is and what makes them tick. So it's a fun challenge to be a part of because in the, I guess, 13 years that I've been doing this, we're way more specific than we ever were before this. And so we've known Tulip Pink since I started, since we were both, you know, she was certainly a bigger somebody in this industry than I was way back then, but certainly sort of getting our footings in this. And so I've always, always loved her fabric and her and Amy Butler. So those were big for us when we first started. And so now we work more closely with Tula. And so we kind of get the sneak peek of what's coming because we're developing ribbons to go with that. So it's fun to be able to see those trends and what I'm always surprised because even though I don't know, I still haven't figured this out. I don't think all these designers have like Zoom calls with each other and go, hey, let's make a farm motif this fall. And it's really funny when you see the fabrics come out that you can see these little threads, no pun intended, through all these different designers of inspiration. And so I'm always in awe of how that happens for designers that are working completely independently and even around the globe. Like how does that happen?
No, I'm fascinated by trends. I'm not somebody who really follows trends, but you look back with fashion, you look back with jewelry. Yeah. It's like, you know, how does it come to be? And how is it that everybody, you know, adopts these styles and then gives right. them at a certain point?
Yeah. Right. I'll be happy when the wide leg pants go away, though. I'll be here for that.
And so collaborations are a huge part of what you do. And how yes. how do you create those relationships?
It's really been time. We work really closely with Time and Experience. We work really closely with Free Spirit Fabrics, and they treat us so, so well. And they've been a huge part of our success with Blocks of the Month. So Blocks of the Month, we basically take our sort of shtick or our specialty is taking these big, like massive quilts that would be really daunting to take on by yourself. And so what we do is we break them down and go, okay, here's my vision in terms of what this quilt is going to look like. And then each month we do a cutting assistant. So we say, okay, here's your bite-sized package for this month. So we're basically eating an elephant one mouthful at a time together. And so it makes it way more manageable for people and also way more manageable financially for people. So instead of it being, because I'll be the first to admit that if I bought it, I can't tell you how many kits I've bought that I haven't yet completed just because it seems too overwhelming and daunting. But Free Spirit has been phenomenal with us. If we go, okay, these are the fabrics we're going to need for the next 12 to 18 months. They really work with us to help us space that out because we also don't have enough room to warehouse all of that. So those partnerships are incredibly beneficial for us. And then the acquisition of Renaissance has really kind of opened new doors for us in terms of working more closely with these designers. And it's funny because you sort of have this, when you're on the B2C side, the consumer side of things, all these designers have this sort of aura about them. They feel like celebrities, and many of them are, not to diminish that fact at all. But when you deal with them, and I mean, at the end of the day, we're just designing ribbon. We're just two people who also like color and texture, and they're really phenomenal people. And so we're really lucky to have those relationships. And even with the new designers that we're bringing on, it's really fun to meet different people within this industry, new and up and coming things. And so it's fun.
So what's your travel schedule like?
It's varying. Actually, I'm traveling less now than I ever did before. We used to do lots of trade shows, and then we do an annual retreat called So Fancy. But a lot of those, there's just not the time, we realized. And so a lot of meetings with all the designers and everything are happening via Zoom. I did meet with several designers at H&H, which was fabulous because it just makes it so much easier to approach them, sit down, have a quick conversation with everyone in one place. But upcoming, our plans are to do market in the fall, quilt market, because we'll have some new stuff coming that will be exclusive releases for quilt market. And then after that, we're doing Quilt Con as a consumer show. So that'll be both Renaissance and Pink Door, which will be an interesting matchup. So that'll be fun. We've never done a trade, like a consumer trade show as Renaissance. So that'll be fun. And then we'll do H&H again next spring. So it's a couple of times a year, not terrible.
So do you have any time in your life, any downtime?
Not really.
For non-work-related traveler? No, I would be.
Not a lot. Our kids are at, you know, a younger age where, and all of our family's here, so we don't have a whole lot of reason to leave. We're going to do, they don't know it yet, and hopefully they don't listen to podcasts. I don't think they do, but we have a surprise trip for them planned at Christmas, so that'll be fun. And we're trying to find, that was one of our goal, or my personal goals for 2024, is really trying to find more balance, because when you, especially when you A, own your own business, and B, you and your husband work in the business, it's hard to find balance with that. And so that's our goal, is to try to find the smaller moments in life and savor those. And so we're pretty good about drawing the boundaries about, okay, let's go home, be with the kids, and, you know, that sort of thing. But I also think it's good for them to realize that what it takes to run a business and the sacrifices, you know, and the value of a hard day's work So my daughter really, really wants to run the shop and own the shop.
Wow.
Which is great. And the funny thing about it is that she knows how to do a lot of the things. She comes to shop day and she checks people out. And I was like, I don't know whether to be proud or ashamed by the fact that you know how to run the cash register.
She's eight, you said, right?
Yeah, she'll be eight next week. But she's an old soul. And so she just thinks that, like, she goes, well, why am I not in the video? I'm part of this business.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. And then do you have parents involved, too?
No, our parents are retired and live here, so they help out with the kids sometimes. Okay. So during the summer, the kids go with them, but no, they're not working in the shop. But our other shop staff, funny story. So Lisa, who's our shop manager here, her parents, who are now passed on, took care of us when we were little, my brother and sister and I. And so it's all come full circle. She works in the shop now because she was a lifelong quilter and loves this. And her daughter is our son's nanny. So it's all, you know, it all feels like family. We all, you know, joke around like we're all siblings. And sometimes I have to break up the arguments, but the bickering of giving each other a rough time about, no, that's my rotary cutter. They've started writing their names on them.
So when did you open the retail space?
That just opened about a month ago.
Wow.
So we finished out that retail space, which happened lightning fast. I think we signed the lease on that in like February. And then it was done the beginning of April. We went to H&H. Well, we had our retreat and then we went to H&H. And then we came back and we had to move. And then we opened like 2 weeks later. And here we are.
And how has the response been? What do people say about the space?
It's great. I really put my interior designer hat on for that. So that was really fun to have a project of my own, except I've learned that I'm my own worst client because I can't make decisions for myself. For anyone else, I can tell you exactly what it needs to be, but I just waffle and waver over decisions for myself because I think, well, what if I don't like it? Then I'm responsible. So it's been fabulous that people can come and shop, and I've learned being in business that there are certain people who always shop online and there are certain people who never shop online. And so it's really funny because we see a lot of like regular customers coming in for shop days and they go, oh no, no, I can't pick this stuff out online. And so they come in, which is really fun to see them, and they bring in what they've made. And so the interaction of that and the community of that is really fun.
Well, and it's just a different experience, you know, touching it and seeing it all
sure. In
real time. And so you started in 2011 and you've learned a lot over the years. And what advice would you give to someone starting out with a similar venture?
I think I would tell them that it's going to be hard. There's just no way to slice it. And so not to discourage them, but you've really got to be committed to what it is that you're doing. Because like I said, being an entrepreneur, especially in the ups and downs of an economy, you got to have a pretty thick skin in order to be able to weather those storms. And in the beginning, I used to take everything very, very personally. And because you pour your heart and soul into it, you know, you think this is an extension of, so any criticism that you get is like, it feels very personal and very raw. And so if I had to go back, I would tell myself that, or hope that somebody would tell me, like, it's going to be okay. It's going to work out. And, you know, it's also okay for businesses to go, I thought that this was going to be a lot easier, or I thought this was going to be more enjoyable, or whatever the thing is, that it's okay to say, it's okay to fail, basically, to go, you know what, I tried it, I did it, I gave it my all. And it's not for me, and that's okay. There have been things that we've tried that you go, that just didn't work very well, or I thought that was going to be more popular. And there comes a time where it's time to cut bait and move on and go, okay, let's try something different.
That's great advice. There's also this idea of, you know, you're a creative and you're also running a really challenging business. How do you stay in touch with the creative side and stay inspired and make sure you have time to get to that part of your life, the creativity?
I will admit, this is something that I struggle with, you know, and I think a lot of, not that I have a lot of creative friends because it's pretty insular here. We got like 10 of us and that's my social circle here. But it's hard to sometimes stay creative. And so whatever that might be, you know, I really love, strangely, like party planning. And so my kids' birthdays are coming up. And so, and my daughter's at an age where it's really fun for her to, so we're having a Taylor Swift birthday party in a couple weeks, actually this weekend. So even if it's not within the realm of what you're doing, finding things to have a creative voice with that. And so we have this whole, like, we're going to make Taylor Swift glasses with their names on them and little gift bags with they can iron on their initials. And so things like that, even though it's not super related to what I'm doing, fill my cup. But I also, there was quite a long, I was a little burned out, if I'm being real honest, over the last couple of years, because it's just been, it's just a lot. There's no other way to slice it. And I think all of us feel a little like, whew, what happened? Where did those last few years go? And what day is it? And what are we doing? And so I think part of that is even just giving yourself the space to go, it's okay if I'm not feeling creative right now. Like, it'll come back. There'll be a day that I'll have time to sit at a sewing machine again. I was actually picking fabrics out for a bag the other day and I went, oh, okay, it's coming back. I have the urge to actually sit at a machine and sew again. I love English paper piecing because it's something I can pick up and put down really easily. And you don't, like, I know that it's not going to be finished in a day or even in a month. So there's no pressure, there's less pressure with it. So I think just taking the pressure off and going, you know, it'll come when it comes. There's a season. There are just different seasons of life and riding through those with whatever it comes.
It's very good wisdom. And it's, I think your perspective is really good. I mean, well, we had the pandemic and people's buying habits have changed and you just have to kind of roll with it.
Yeah. It's hard to sort of shift and see those because you get so stuck in the mindset. Like during the pandemic, we couldn't fulfill orders fast enough. Like we joke now, it's not really that funny. But I had Jackson in July of that year on a Sunday afternoon. And literally I was back packing blocks of the month on Tuesday, 2 days later, like at my kitchen table, I was feeding him oh with him in my, in the sling and we were packing. So you were just like in survival mode then. And that's fine, but it's difficult to sort of like pull yourself out of that and go, okay, how are things changing and what's happening now? Because you just are swept up in it. You know, life in this world is just fast paced and you got to keep up. So I think trying to, and that's where it comes into, we're trying to like find a little more balance with that and go, okay, here's a scheduled, it's really pitiful that I have to schedule days off now. But otherwise it doesn't happen because there's always more to be done.
Yeah. You could be doing this 24/7, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I'm pretty good now. If this business has taught me anything in 13 years, it's that you've got to take a break. Otherwise, it'll just eat you alive. So we've gotten better about that, or I've gotten better about that.
You know, I talk to a lot of creative entrepreneurs and, you know, they'll say, you know, I finally started taking weekends or I finally, you know, yeah. You get to a point where it's not sustainable to give your, you know, there are times when you have to give it all, but you have to also care for yourself. It's right. Really important. And with the second business, I'm just curious if there were any surprises with Renaissance Ribbons or anything you've learned from that clientele that's different than Pink Door.
It's been a learning experience for sure. And I maybe naively went into that thinking, well, we ship stuff all day long. That like, we're really good at that. That won't be a problem. And it's strangely, it's different when you didn't build that up because you're certainly like, I guess I'll liken it to like dating somebody new. You have to figure out their quirks or like, you know, you're just getting to know each other. And so
I love your analogies, by the way.
I haven't done that in a long time. We've been married, 10 years now and together for 18. So I can't really remember those days anymore, but let's just say. And so learning who that customer is and what makes them tick was more, I didn't know what I didn't know. And so I think that's hard when you purchase a business and acquire a business. And thankfully, it was so closely related to what we already did. I mistakenly sort of assumed that it was the same customer. Mm-hmm. And shockingly, it's not.
I would think there'd be some overlap, but I'm not surprised. It is different.
Yeah. So it has nothing to do with ageism, but that Renaissance consumer trends a little older than the Pink Door demographic. And so at H&H, actually, it was the most fascinating thing. The keynote speaker was Mark Hyland from Handy Quilter. Did you sit in on that at all?
I caught a bit of it. Yeah.
It was the most fascinating thing. And so Handy Quilter does this huge survey of the quilting industry. I don't know. I think it's every year. But the information that they gave in that was so invaluable. And so it's something, even if, like, let's say we weren't vending at H&H, I would go just to hear him speak about that. And I had the privilege of sitting on a panel with him, and I was just so blown away by his professionalism and his commitment to the industry. I'm a huge Mark Hyland fan now because he was just such a great guy. And so they do this survey, but what the gist of it was that basically, let's just be real, it's mostly women in the quilting industry. Yes, there are men represented in that. And so, but they did, it makes sense if you think about it this way, but at the time, you know, when you're in the thick of it, it doesn't necessarily register that women in that are younger are busier with kids, taking care of kids. And so, and families and doing sports, and they don't have a lot of A, disposable income, but B, disposable time to be devoting to what is in the quilting industry a high barrier to entry hobby. You know, it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of money. It's not like knitting where you can buy a skein of yarn and some needles and sit down and have a project. Like, you got to have a lot of tools to sew, basically. And so it was interesting because they see that graph of women as they reach retirement or their kids start to empty the nest, that's really when they have more disposable time and more disposable income to sew. And so I think, too, adding ribbon to that, it makes sense now after I heard him speak about that of bags take a lot, I shouldn't say a lot more time, but they're more complex than a quilt. And so people usually get into this industry for the quilting and then they progress to the bags. And so it makes sense where, you know, you're seeing your demographic for Pink Door be a little younger because they're being introduced to the quilting. And then as they have more time on their hands, then they get into the bag making, which then brings in the ribbon. So it was just an interesting sort of aha moment for me of, oh, now it makes sense.
Oh, that is interesting. Well, and I know with a lot of our stories, we feature women who, after they retire, their life has, it just sort of opens up for all this creative, you know, experience and new projects. And so it does make sense.
Yeah.
Well, we're coming to an end and I just want to know, you know, anything we should be on the lookout for 2024, the rest of the year. I know you said you have some things you can't disclose yet, but.
We do. We've recently launched our new block of the month. So that's been a labor of love. It's going to be an 18-month mystery block of the month. And so I know people hear mystery and they go, oh my goodness, I don't want to make something if I don't know what I'm making.
I love the idea of mystery.
It's a mystery in that we don't know exactly which fabrics are coming. We do. We've gotten a glimpse of those, but they don't. And so it's fun because they're all Tula Pink fabrics. And so Willene Hammerstein designed this quilt, and it's in French, and I don't speak French. So the translation of that is hide and seek, which I think is really apt for the sort of overall theme of that, because it's all Tula Pink fabrics. And so she's sort of the master at hiding motifs within her fabric. And so I think it's fun with this. It's going to be like a fussy cutter's paradise with English paper piecing, where we're really going to use her fabric to the best of our abilities in terms of what it's meant to be made into. So that's really exciting. So we're working on launching that. And then for Renaissance, we have lots of new designers coming. And we are going to be at Market. So there are going to be brand new products releasing there that are only going to be shown at Market. And so everyone will have to stay tuned for that, but that's really exciting. So lots of new designers, lots of new ribbons and trims and different things. And just, yeah, hopefully a vacation in there somewhere.
End of the year.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's been great, great, great connecting with you today. You, I mean, I say this often when I speak to people, but you inspire me, your ability to juggle it all and stay energetic and excited about what you're doing. I love it.
So, well, thank you. It's so fun. We're fortunate to be in an industry where people don't really end up because they don't like it, which is phenomenal. You know, a lot of people end up in jobs where they're like, I don't know, I just wound up here because it seemed like a good idea or it makes me money, but you don't end up in a creative industry because by accident. So it makes me happy.
And your words, die hard. You're a diehard Fabric fan, you know, that in itself. I love it. Well, thank you. We will be watching everything that you're doing in the coming months and good luck with everything.
Thank you. And we hope our paths cross again soon.
Yes. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you again for joining us today for our World of Women Create podcast. In a world filled with endless stories, it is our mission to share the memorable personal journeys and lessons learned of the extraordinary women in our community. Their stories are stories that enlighten us, inform us, and ignite the creativity that lives in each of us. Women Create is grateful that you are part of our creative world.